Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, in addition to hearing the testimony of Father Dennis Callan and his work in Asia, we all heard together the testimony of Peter and the crowds in regards to Jesus Christ. We were reading from Matthew 16, and Jesus elicited such testimony from Peter and the crowds with those two important questions. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This week, that same chapter continues, the very next verses, and now we hear who Jesus says he is. We've heard the crowd, we've heard Peter, now Jesus. And the news is absolutely shocking to the Jews. Matthew tells us, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer greatly, be killed, and on the third day be raised. That's absolutely shocking. Shocking because the Jews were thinking that Jesus was going to be a Messiah who would be a great warrior, who would finally overturn the sin and the scandal of the government and establish a new kingdom. And while Jesus Christ most certainly is the Messiah, he most certainly is a warrior, he certainly established a kingdom. He did so in a very different way than the Jews were thinking. How did Jesus do it? He did it through his suffering, death, and resurrection. And that was shocking. It was a very different way. Perhaps a little more shocking to us in today's gospel is Jesus' response to Peter. When Peter hears this news, he is a good friend. And he says, God forbid, Lord, that that would ever happen to you. And then Jesus replies, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God thinks, but as human beings do. Isn't that shocking? Just a few moments ago, Jesus declared Peter the rock, the one on whom he would build his church and establish his kingdom. And now Peter, this man who was a friend and said something good, God forbid, Lord. Peter is now called a Satan, an obstacle. And that's shocking. It also raises a question or two. Namely, how is it that we think? And how is it that God thinks? Could human beings really be an obstacle to God? Even a good person, could they be an obstacle? My friends, this is a very important moment in Matthew 16. In the course of Peter's life. And he was humbled. And these questions still have their power. And today are for us. Sometimes we may be humbled by God. Can you imagine being called a Satan by Jesus? That might freak us out. We might say, see ya. Peter didn't leave. He continued on with Jesus. And our continuing on, wondering of how we think and how God thinks, is very important. Anyone serious about the spiritual life is going to be one who is serious about prayer, about their communication with God. And there was a point in my life where these two questions made all the difference in that prayer relationship. For many years, I prayed sharing with God what I thought, what I saw, what I heard. And I would spend time in prayer sharing those things with God, and I expected that sharing those things would change God. I expected that if I prayed hard enough or right enough, if I sat in the right way, if I said the right prayers, if I worked real hard, then my sharing these things with God would create something good. But a big change happened when I not merely shared what I thought with God, but I allowed him to share with me what he thought. And that was a game changer. And then prayer and my spiritual life, my life with Jesus, became no longer about me and God, but it became more and more about God and me. I became receptive to God. And my friends, this is so important. It's so important in the spiritual life, how we think and being receptive to how God thinks. It's good to share with God what we see, hear, and think. But if we're really going to be Christian, we need to receive from him his thoughts, his sight, his hearing, his mind. Sometimes we are like Peter. And sometimes there can be misplaced compassion. There can be things done in the name of God that are just the opposite of God. God forbid, Lord, that that would ever happen to you. Peter was being compassionate, but he was dead wrong. And there are things being done today in the name of God, in the name of compassion, that are dead wrong, that are evil. How important to ask God what he thinks. Three things here. Number one, note well that God has revealed himself in Jesus, and Jesus is not a loner. He's not a genie in the bottle. He's not a standalone God. Jesus is the Son of the Eternal Father. He's the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus is always in communion with his Father. And isn't that beautiful? It's so important to know who Jesus is, the love of the Father. And that love being revealed to us, he is communion, and that communion has power to heal our loneliness, our abandonment. Jesus is compassion. God is compassion. That means to suffer with. There's not a suffering in mind or body or a suffering of any type that God is not attentive to, that God is not one with. He is communion. He is compassion. But he's something else. And this is a word we don't always like or think about. But God is command. Namely, that God has chosen not just to be with us, but he has spoken a word. And that word has power to save. God has done a work. He has an authority that we need. You see, he has not only looked upon us with love, but he has loved us with his word, with his command. And if we are to experience that salvation, the fruit of his word, we need to receive it. We need to be obedient to that command. We need not just to be compassionate, but we need to receive his word, his thoughts, his life. If a stranger were to come into this church, or even a Catholic, a Christian Catholic, come into this church and look at that crucifix, and if we were to ask them if that's love, there might be some Christians who say no. It's the image of a dead man on a cross. It's the image of violence. If we were to say to them, is this what seems like a piece of bread? Is that the flesh of God? They might say we're nuts. But that is love on the crucifix. And that is God in the host. Because we know who he is. That his way of life, his revelation, his command has made that love, has made that true. My friends, the communion of God, the compassion of God, the command of God has such power to save. And if we are ever going to truly know the gift of our faith, we need to more and more be obedient to his command, especially as it relates to difficulty, especially as it relates to the cross, which is why the rest of Matthew 16 is so beautiful. Jesus is explicit as to what to do with the cross. And we don't hide from it. We don't look for it. But very simply, Jesus says, you take up the cross and you follow me. To the extent that we do so, we will know the gift of being Christian. We will know the gift of freedom. We will know that strange reality of knowing his love, even in the midst of difficulty. And we will not be suckered by a false love. To the extent that we don't pick up that cross and follow him, we will be suckered. We will not know love. As we begin this month of September, this Labor Day weekend, how beautiful to encounter once again the work, the labor of God, who is communion, who has shared his compassion with us, and has made his command clear. May we give him permission to remove all misplaced compassion from us, to not settle for what we think, but to be receptive to what he thinks, and allow his wisdom, his life, his love to be ours. May God bless you today.